Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Party in the USA, Miley Cyrus. Great song.
I'm sorry. Whoa. What song is this, Zach?
Barracuda.
Okay.
Just, I knew what it was.
I know, but you scare me when you say stuff like that. Like, why would you say that? Where is this remotely related to Party in the USA?
That's the joke.
It's not a good one.
Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt with you here as the Bills head to the bye week. 9-2, half game out of the one seed in the AFC. And, I mean, it's full steam ahead from here. They've got six games left. The next three are all against NFC opponents, and then they finish out the year two games against New England, one more against the Jets, who may or may not still be an NFL franchise by the time the Bills do, in fact, play them. But I'm feeling good. I'm feeling really good.
The Jets, man. Like,
love them.
Like, I just don't understand.
Love them. I meant it yesterday, too. Outside of watching them lose, the only other team I gain more happiness from watching lose is the Cowboys.
Yeah.
They're the only other one.
That was something yesterday, right? Like, did you see the ceiling, the ceiling panel and everything?
So I didn't know about that.
The sky is literally falling in Dallas.
Yeah, I didn't know that until I think the game had started or whatever, when they actually showed the piece falling.
Right.
I'm sitting there watching the game with my dad, and he's like, yeah, that's happening. And I'm like, what? And then I saw real quick on Twitter, too, that there was like a windstorm going on in the Dallas area. I was like, what is happening?
Why not just leave the roof closed?
Like,
you haven't opened it in 2 years. Just leave it shut. Don't do it the day of a game, like 2 hours before the game. Yeah, we're going to open it.
Jerry wanted to shut up the critics about the whole sun thing.
Shut up about the sun.
As the roof collapses.
This is the real problem.
Oh, man. They're bad. They're bad.
It's funny because when the whole sun thing happened, he was like, what do you want me to do, build a new stadium? And now it's like, well, yeah, it's falling apart.
Kind of, actually. Yeah, it's falling apart. They are terrible, though.
Did you see the Texans tweet after the game? They've been on fire this year.
Did they mentioned something about the fight on Friday, didn't they?
That, but they also mentioned in a separate tweet about the ceiling panel falling.
Oh, they had the two panels that made an L.
And then, yeah, they edited it and they like took the panel falling, the freeze frame of that, and turned it sideways so it made an L shape.
So good.
And they think the tweet said like "watch your head" or something like that.
That's so good.
Yeah, and it paired well because Joe Mixon at one point did the too small celebration and a touchdown. So it's like watch your head. You're too small.
I can't.
The whole masterclass of beating the Cowboys is just my favorite thing in the world because. There was also a tweet, not from the Texans, but just from some sports page, whatever. Wins what's the stadium called?
I think AT&T Stadium.
AT&T, yeah. Mm-hmm. Wins at AT&T Stadium this season, or this year, this calendar year. Jake Paul, 1. Texas A&M, 1. The Dallas Cowboys, 0. Like...
Oh, no.
Like, what are we doing?
There's also going to be like a few high school teams that are going to put one because of the state championship.
Right. I mean, when's that start? Like a week or two, probably?
No, probably. We got a few more weeks.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
Yeah, I think a few more weeks.
Know. I mean, I know around here things are starting to heat up in terms of high school football playoffs. So I didn't know if it was any different in Texas. Probably is because of the weather. But
and you know what, though, too? And last thing on the Cowboys, they're going to see all their issues on defense. And Jerry's going to be like, that Boise State running back right there. We'll take him to the It's going to fix all of our problems. Aston Gentry, let's get him in here. Yeah. He's going to fix all of our problems.
Yeah, you're going to put him behind Dak Prescott for 6 years.
I can't wait for their offseason.
I'm so excited.
I can't wait for them to not sign Micah Parsons.
Yeah, and then he can come sign with the Bills.
Still a thing. That is still a thing.
Not the thing is not him signing with the Bills. The thing is him leaving Dallas. But I just would love for him to be here.
They're a lot of fun to watch just absolutely flounder around. They have not met the expectations I think they set for themselves. I don't think anyone else had set those expectations.
I don't think they've met any expectations.
They have not met any expectations. But that's where I do want us to take the show today. The Bills are on the bye week. This is sort of now the line of demarcation for the seasons. Sometimes you have earlier bye weeks. Sometimes, like the Bills this year, you have a little bit of a later bye week. But this is it's not halfway, but it is kind of that you can stop and take a breath and kind of smell the roses, as it were, on the season.
I think it technically is halfway, isn't it? It's more than halfway.
It was more than halfway, yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if you were saying it was less than halfway. No. We're well past halfway.
Yeah, it's more than halfway, but this is sort of the line of demarcation of the two sides of the season. Right.
This was always viewed as the, I don't want to say it was the harder side of the season, but when you looked at it originally, all of a sudden you had Chiefs, bye week, 49ers, Rams, Lions. Like, that's a tough stretch of four games on paper at the beginning of the season. Maybe not so much the Rams, but still, it was just all those teams right in a row. Mm-hmm. Whereas now that you're here, the Bills win over the Chiefs, give them their first loss of the year. The 49ers are last place in their division. They're 5-5. The Rams are not what they expected to be. They're still definitely a threat. Don't get me wrong. Like,
they're still
Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp are there. Matthew Stafford's kind of doing something, I guess.
I still love him.
He's one of my favorites. He's if he didn't start his career in Detroit, I really wonder what his career would have looked like. But and then you obviously have the juggernaut of the Detroit Lions. That's still the hardest game of your schedule.
The demons of the NFL, yes.
Yes. But I look at all this now and think back to what we were talking about, you know, when we found out about the schedule, and then even just at the start of the season after like a week or two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a different mindset now because you've beaten the Chiefs. You've done that. And I know last week we were talking about how much that game might not have actually mattered in terms of how you're going to feel. But kind of the way they did it was one of those, like we talked about this. It was, if they win in a certain way, we're all going to feel pretty good. It doesn't matter if you didn't think about the win or if you whatever. Mm-hmm. Because a lot, I know Zach and I both were very much in the camp of, well, if you go out there and destroy them, then that's great. But if you go out there and just win and it's just kind of like then it's like, okay, you know, cool, do it in the playoffs. But now
Josh Allen played, the way boosted it up a little bit for me, I even said it yesterday in the nightcap. Like, the excitement of the win, though, did taper off for me as the day went on, where it's like, okay, got to do it in the playoffs again.
Yeah, for sure. But at the same time, it's also this, you've given them something to think about, and you've given them almost a potential start of a stumble, because yes, they're playing the Panthers next week, but how many times have we seen a terrible team go in and beat a good team on any given Sunday?
That happens all the time. I more look at it like Denver and Pittsburgh are definitely teams that could get them.
I more so just look at it in the sense of they're probably going to be in the mindset of, whoa, what just happened?
I don't think so. That's our first
loss of the year. Yeah. Not in the sense of like, how did we let that happen? But in the sense of just like this, you get into that, oh man, we had the undefeated season. Where did it go? And then you're so.
I don't think they cared about that. Everything they've said.
The way they celebrated after that Broncos win.
Well, they celebrated because it was a big win. Everything they've said about the undefeated season is, it'd be cool, but eh. Like, we're looking for three straight.
I think that's PR. I really think that's just PR of like saying, like, yeah, we don't really care, but inside it's just, yeah, that'd be great. That'd be really cool. And then all of a sudden.
I tell you right now, especially modern teams with everything, with health and everything, I would tell you right now, most teams would not want to go for an undefeated season.
I can understand that. But I think that once you're into it, and when they were at the point they were at, because the Bills were kind of their line of, if we get past this, the undefeated season is within grasp easily. Because, again, we've talked about this. After this Bills game, the Chiefs have the Panthers, the Raiders. I mean, the Broncos, sure, but there's not many big teams left for the Chiefs to face. So if you're the Chiefs, it was get over the Bills and boom, you could waltz to an undefeated season, essentially. And I think that's going to play some mental aspects into their game. Maybe not huge, and you're not going to see it right away, but I just wonder, you know, they did lose to the Raiders last year on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they play the Raiders in 2 weeks. The Raiders are not much better, if not worse, than they were this year compared to last year. But again, it's one of those, any team can come in and shock the world. I'm not saying the Panthers are going to go out and beat the Chiefs. But I'm also not saying that this win isn't going to affect the Chiefs, or this loss, I should say.
Well, no, I mean, no, it sets it up. I don't see this being a mental aspect thing. They've lost to the Bills 4 straight times in the regular season.
Yeah.
They're used to this.
Right.
I mean, that's why you got the knee golf clap from Travis Kelce.
Mm-hmm.
It's also why, I'm sitting here on Tuesday moving on from it because
we've
seen this before.
Right.
They've seen this before.
I've moved on from that part of it. I'm just looking more towards how it affects the rest of the season because now the Bills are technically right now half a game back of the AFC one seed. And if the Chiefs win, it goes back to a full game. But still, you have that tiebreaker over them now. You just need them to lose twice.
They got the Chargers,
just to be comfortable.
Pittsburgh, Denver, Houston on there as well.
Oh, yeah, Houston.
There's a few spots that they can drop a game or two.
Realistically, you want them to lose twice just for a buffer, but just in case, let's say you drop a game, I mean, especially like we talked about the Lions coming up, that's a tough game. I'm not writing that game off, but at the same time, it's a very good opponent that has really controlled games so far this year. There's a reason they're also 9-1. But I look at what's left for these two teams. And that right there, paired with a bye week, is such a big motivational boost for the Bills, I think, in terms of how they won the game. You picked off Pat Mahomes twice. And we talked about this before the show started. I didn't realize this, but he got picked off on his first pass of the game and
his last pass
of the game. That is such a nice, fun stat or occurrence. But you also have the aspect of what Allen did in terms of controlling himself, essentially. I mean, he didn't have Keon Coleman, didn't have Dalton Kincaid, and didn't have Spencer Brown. But Ryan Vandermark stepped up, was great where he needed to be, controlled Chris Jones. And then, Allen was smart. Sure,
it was the one bad pick that looked to be a miscommunication between him and Knox.
That was one of those weird ones.
Yep. You don't love it, but it does happen.
Right.
For me, it was just more, you put up 30 points, which a team hadn't done for, 38 straight games against the Chiefs.
Right.
That's incredibly, or in regular season games, I think, but that's incredibly impressive. It was an all-time record at the time. That's been their calling card up to this point, has been their defense.
Yep.
And for an offense that I think has struggled mightily at times this year, namely in the first half, first downs I still don't love.
The constant, first down runs are a problem.
The constant run plays. They haven't put up under 30 points since Monday Night Football against the Jets, all the way back on October 14th. So against Tennessee, 34, Seattle, 31, and then the last 3 weeks against Miami, Indianapolis, Kansas City, you put up 30 points.
Exactly 30.
They are scoring.
That's consistency right there.
And they're scoring, and you've had major injuries on the offense. This week being maybe the most, glaring with Keon Coleman out, Dalton Kincaid out, Spencer Brown out, but Amari Cooper has missed a lot of games.
What do you think this game looks like if Amari Cooper's not there? Because Curtis Samuel gets activated, in terms of being on the field and being
I think he was incredibly important. I think he was really,
he did
really important.
Something. Oh, Cooper, you're saying?
Yeah, I think he's really important.
Because those two
catches.
Because
he opens up. Every time he's on the field, you're seeing how good this passing attack can be when he opens up the field.
Well, and the two catches he has, too, are just incredibly, mind-boggling, first of all, because one-handed catch with the hand that has the cast on it, and then the other one where he practically blinks and the ball is there, and he just makes the grab no problem. He was great in terms of what he did with the ball and away from the ball, and it's just, if that's something that can continue and Keon Coleman's coming back, I mean,
I like the wide receiver
feeling
right
really
now.
Good.
Maybe not in the long term because Amari Cooper is on the other side of 30, but in the right now and. I would say next year, too. I think at this rate, I would be stunned if the Bills don't at least give Amari Cooper at least a one-year deal.
Yeah.
I really like where they're at.
Well, I mean, at this point in the season, too, what matters is right now. You're not worried about next year at this point because you're so deep in this season and you're so successful right now that you don't have to worry about, okay, well, what's it going to look like next year? Okay, I don't care. It's one of those things where it's like at a certain point in the year, you flip that switch to this. Either this year matters or, okay, we're done.
Yep.
Let's move on.
And usually it's the bye week, and the Bills have clearly shown we care about this
year
now.
And it's funny because this is one of those years where it was kind of supposed to be a write-off, and now it's 9-2, and it looks great.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go to the phones here. Jerry on the line. Jerry, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you? We spent a lot of time talking about the one seed, and look at how Kansas City won a Super Bowl last year. I think it's about the path and being healthy as much as it is about the one seed. I know in football it's just one game and there's only one bye, but I think a lot of NHL teams like the Caps and stuff, and the Lightning have figured out, and the Colorado, you know, just get in, be healthy. You can win from any spot. I think the path is very important here. I want, in the week before, you know, the championship game, Pittsburgh coming here, and I think that's critical to this. I want Baltimore to go to Kansas City, like maybe in that round or an earlier round. The path, I'd love to get Denver and Pittsburgh as our two home games before we have to play a championship game either at Kansas City or at home.
Yeah, 100%, Jerry. Thanks for the call. I agree fully with all that because I think that's spot on. Denver. Give me a rookie quarterback against Sean McDermott. Bo Nix looks great. Give me a rookie quarterback. I will take that matchup 100 times out of 100.
Not a question. But every year you look for the teams that are going to be plucky and are going to just ruin your season play.
It's not Denver. Not with a rookie quarterback.
Are we sure?
Yeah,
because
100%.
The way they've been playing.
Cool.
It is the playoffs, which is different.
Give me Sean McDermott against a rookie quarterback and like the wild card round, the divisional round. I'll take that matchup every time. It could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving that likelihood.
You're giving me conflict here because I don't want to be confident about that matchup. But your confidence is making me confident. So I'm like, okay,
give me
just
that matchup every single day of the week.
Well, yeah, and it's like
Pittsburgh, I'm less so because Pittsburgh makes games ugly.
Yeah. And I mean, look at the past, you know, look at the whole season. How many touchdowns have they scored? Like 7 total?
It feels like it.
Everything has been on Chris Boswell. He's a fantasy football, like, he's the best player in fantasy football because he puts up 24 points as a kicker. And, you know, it's just,
yeah, I'd like
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh
just makes me frustrated.
Yeah, they make me very frustrated.
They are the New York Islanders of the NFL. They play the most boring style of football.
But I think they're good.
And they beat you.
I think they are good.
Right.
And I think Russell Wilson does make them better. Even if it's marginally, I think he does make them better.
Right, but it's a step up from Kenny Pickett, and it's even a step up from Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look at what the Bills had to do last year, it was Mason Rudolph, right?
Yeah.
And it's like that, going from Mason Rudolph to Russell Wilson in the playoffs, it's a very different game. And sure, the Bills are a different team this year too. They have, their defense has looked phenomenal so far. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, Russell Wilson in the playoffs has been so successful in the past. And that's a type of player that you haven't seen in a while because he's been on these bad teams and he hasn't really been successful.
Well, he himself has not been very good.
Right.
He's making much better throw. I mean, him and George Pickens, that chemistry is legit. Yeah.
And Mike Williams has been a decent addition
for
them.
Yep, he's been
too.
A good addition to them. And then the other point that Jerry made there, the health, I think that was my favorite thing coming out of this game. The win is amazing. That will always be one. But in terms of the big takeaways from the game.
Remaining healthy.
No one else was added to the injury report. Even yesterday, Sean McDermott, speaking to the media, said he hadn't heard anything about Josh Allen's hand. I didn't even see anything. I didn't know that was a thing until I saw questions come up about it.
There was like one play, I can't remember, but I was getting a little nervous because they were like, oh yeah, he's getting his right hand looked at, and then they never talked about it again. So I was like, oh, okay, all right, he's fine.
That feels right. But yeah, that is the most important thing now going on for the rest of the season is to stay healthy. The Bills seemingly are. They now have the bye, maybe the perfect time where they can get back all of Matt Milano, Dwayne Carter, Keon Coleman, Spencer Brown.
You think
Dalton
Matt Milano's
Kincaid.
Back?
We'll see. I mean, he's practicing now. I did see with the bye week, it's like, okay, San Francisco kind of feels like that one. He was limited this week in practice leading up to Kansas City, are of course already ruled out. But it was like, okay, I'm seeing the vision. I get it.
Who would you rather have him come back against, the Rams or the 49ers?
49ers.
Yeah.
With McCaffrey.
No, in terms of getting him up to speed. Not in terms of what he does as a player. Like, in terms of getting him back up to games.
Oh, as early as possible. Then, yeah, it's still the 49ers.
All right. I didn't know if you cared about the matchups and stuff, because I was looking at, you know, the Rams might be not the weaker team, but more, you know.
No, for me, it would
like
just
a better
be
type
as
of matchup.
Early as possible, get him going, you know, get ramped up, because I want him ready for the playoffs. That's the key there, because I don't think he's going to come in immediately and Doran Williams is going to play, like, 4 snaps on defense, but just enough to kind of get it going.
Yeah.
So We'll see on that. But yeah, for me, especially out of the Chiefs game, that is the most important thing. Getting healthy, staying healthy. The one seed would be cool. It's frustrating that that's where the NFL is at, that the 1 and 2 seed no longer both have buys. It's just the one seed. It has made the playoffs much more difficult. I'd love home field advantage, sure. But yeah, the matchups also are important there. So if I don't have to play Kansas City again at the earliest until, you know, the AFC Championship game, beautiful.
And you have the chance of not playing them at all.
Well, that'd be great.
that'd be the perfect scenario.
That'd be awesome,
right? Yeah, I mean you've.
But I've said it the last few weeks. I want another chance at Baltimore. I think their defense is garbage.
Right. Yeah, I think honestly this Bills team could beat the brakes off Baltimore. No problem. I think their
biggest problem is they allowed them to dictate the pace of the game.
Yep.
Because their offense couldn't get off the ground fast enough. It eventually did, but then the trick play kind of threw it. But it allowed Baltimore to run as much as they wanted with Henry. You saw what Pittsburgh was able to do, just keeping it close. They gave what, Henry, 13 carries?
This past week?
In this past week, yeah. And then in the fourth quarter, he basically was a non-factor. They were able to just kind of dictate the pace, do what they wanted to do, no issues, no problems. It was great. They were wonderful, and they scored like a touchdown. they didn't do anything crazy. Now their defense, I think, has bigger star power just with T.J. Watt than the Bills do on their defensive line. That's fine.
13 carries.
That's what they do.
For 65 yards and a touchdown for Henry.
Yep.
This past week.
And he basically didn't do anything in the fourth quarter.
Yeah,
because he's not a passer, or he's not a pass catcher, so they did nothing there. I'm good. I'm ready.
And you even look at their offense in passing terms. Isaiah Likely was their leading receiver.
Isaiah Likely finally having another game.
And then you have Zay Flowers, Rashad Bateman, Deontay Johnson had no target or had two targets, no catches.
What a worthless trade.
And it looked like it was going to be something that was, you know, kind of like a hey. That might be something there.
Someone that had him in fantasy football, I was very frustrated by him going to Baltimore and them immediately being like, nah, I don't really know if we want to use him.
Yeah, we just want to have him here.
Yeah, we just really like who he is as a guy.
He just needs to be around.
But.
Because last week.
The matchups are going to be key for the playoffs, and that's right across the line. I mean, for the Chiefs especially, they had perfect matchups. Let's just look at last year. They had perfect matchups. They get a Miami team that can't play in the cold, and it happens to be the Arctic. At Arrowhead.
-3.
They then get a Bills team that has A.J. Klein playing at linebacker. They just lost Terrell Bernard the week prior. They're also dealing with a bunch of other injuries throughout the year to the point where they could kind of do what they wanted, even still it was close. And then they get a Baltimore team who maybe not on paper was a great matchup for them.
Mm-hmm.
And then they play Baltimore, and Baltimore decides to completely change how they are on offense.
That's still the biggest.
And they still had to play near perfect. Travis Kelce had to ascend back to that Hall of Fame level that he had in all year. And that's what got them to the Super Bowl.
I think the Bills proved something on Sunday, too, where if you take out Travis Kelce, nothing else in that offense will work.
They're not explosive.
Limit Travis Kelce, everything else will be fine. Sure, Noah Gray got 2 touchdowns. Okay, great. Cool. 14 points.
But they had to grind out those drives.
Right. Exactly, and that's taking time off the clock, which is something that Kansas City's used to their advantage this year so far, but they couldn't use to their advantage against the Bills because the Bills were making them do it.
Well, the Bills had 10 more minutes in time of possession.
Well, right.
The Bills were just doing a better version of the Chiefs.
Yeah, the Bills did control the game better, but I think in terms of how they controlled the game, it was almost like a go out and try that, see what happens, and then we're going to do it better. Like, that was the thing. It was because, I mean, the Chiefs had the ball first, right? And then on the first pass attempt, throws an interception. Okay, cool. Watch this. And then the Bills didn't score on their first drive. But
it slowed down. But Sean McDermott spoke about this yesterday with Sean Bulldog, too. Like, it wasn't the typical Chiefs-Bills game where it was just bang, 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 bang. It was more
there
slow.
There were points, though.
There were points, but it was more slow and methodical. The third quarter started, I think, with, like, what, like 4 punts between the two teams?
Right.
So
the first Noah Gray touchdown, that was the one time you saw the Chiefs that, hey, there's that well-oiled machine of an offense we know. Because they went down the field in what felt like 2 minutes.
And Worthy had himself a drive. But it's all coming down to the matchups and what they have. I'd love to avoid the Chiefs as long as possible. I also, though, really like how this Bills team matched up against the Chiefs. With all that being said, they also have to get healthier. So
true.
The current Bills team, I love how they match up against the Chiefs. I don't know how I'm going to like it. when Hollywood Brown's back in the lineup Isaiah Pacheco's back in the lineup.
And even Charles Omenihu. I mean, that's a big
piece on their defensive line. They could not get pressure even with Chris Jones.
Yeah.
So
again, props to Ryan Vandermark and Cyrus Torrence.
Yeah, so that's going to be something as well. Baltimore, though, I'd love to have another shot at them. Not going to have to worry about Bengals. The Chargers,
well,
No, not a shot.
You
not
don't think they're nothing?
I'm so done with them. I'm so done giving just two players credit for an entire team.
I don't want to say, you know, they're in, but I also don't want to just completely write them off.
Because they're 4-7.
Oh, wow, they are 4-7.
I'm so done giving two guys credit. But they are playing unbelievable. And I'm talking about Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. They're playing unbelievable football.
I know.
At a certain point, wins, losses do matter.
I know. But there is... I feel like they're never dead until they're dead.
They're dead. It's the same with Baltimore. Eventually,
again, you're doing it to me.
Win losses matter. I saw Nate Geary put up like a tier list of where he put teams, and he put Pittsburgh above Baltimore. And someone's like, Baltimore's clearly better than Pittsburgh. Lamar's 2-9 against them.
Yeah.
Eventually, you got a win for me to say you're better. Last year, people want to say Miami was clearly better than the Bills.
And Lamar, to be fair, too, it's funny because I think he's having a better season statistically than he did last year when he won the MVP. But he looks worse, doesn't he?
I think he looks better overall. I think Pittsburgh just has the magic sauce with him.
Maybe it's recency bias. They did not look good on Sunday.
No, I mean, but that's a typical Pittsburgh-Baltimore game, and they know what to do with him. Like he's 1-4 against them.
I look at his season, right? And ooh, wow, I didn't realize his touchdown interceptions was that high.
He's having a great year.
25 touchdowns, 3 interceptions.
He's having a great year.
I did not realize the ratio was that high.
Mm-hmm.
Still about the same yardage as last year, though, only 2,800 yards.
He's been awesome, but welcome to what the Bills fans were complaining about last year. Allen was having a far better statistical year,
yeah,
but win-losses, because the MVP is ultimately mm-hmm. who's the 1 or 2 seed. It sucks, but it is what it is. So like I do think Allen will win the MVP because Baltimore, for as great as they are on offense, can't stop losing games.
Yeah.
They are 7-4. 803-0550 is the number to call. We got some tweets as well. Bills expectations as they head into the bye week at 9-2. Have they met your expectations up to this point? And if not, where do they need to improve? Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here until 12 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Allen has to throw it wide open. It's Samuel scampering to the end zone, and he's in for the touchdown. Well, welcome to the end zone, Curtis Samuel. A 12-yard touchdown reception, his first as a Buffalo Bill.
Chris Brown there on the call.
Who is that? Who scored that?
I mean, a guy named Curtis. I don't know. I didn't realize.
Did he come off the practice squad?
Man,
what happened?
All respect
to Curtis Samuel because he had a great game.
Last 2 weeks, you're starting to see he's clearly getting healthier. That turf toe mm-hmm. did cause him problems, and they're getting him going. Last week, a little bit with Indianapolis. This week, I've been tweeted out too. Don't forget him drawing a pass interference deep down the field. He was in for a monster, already very good stat line, but he was in for a very, very good stat line for himself against Kansas City. You add in then again, Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid into that equation, Amari Cooper getting healthier. He's making one-handed catches with his cast under his glove.
Which is just, I mean, that's just like a, hey,
they are
watch
in,
this.
Yeah, they're in such a good spot right now on offense. would like to be a little bit better on first down play calling, but they did set themselves up with play action. So that seems to be their plan going into Kansas City. But I'm not really much I can complain up to this point. Talking Bills expectations up to this point this season, we've got a few tweets. We're also taking your calls. 803-0550, the number to call. And let's get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Jack tweets in, I would have been happy with 8-3 with the schedule, 9-2, and beating Kansas City, it's amazing. Let's also give organization props for seeing weakness at wide receiver and addressing early, 100%. D is playing better than thoughtful Marks to Babich. All that matters is the playoffs, but right now I'm enjoying the journey. That is something I'm trying to get better at, is just enjoying the journey. I am really bad at it, and I acknowledge that because I said it last week. Like, to be fair, like, I wasn't really enjoying the lead up to Kansas City because I'm like, I care about the playoffs, only about the playoffs. Sounded like a crazy person at times.
You did. I was right there with you though, because I was in the same boat. It was like this, like, yeah, great, cool, but
that is the kind of fan.
Why not
I am.
January?
It's the kind of fan I am. The last Bills regular season, that, I mean, like, I truly enjoyed every game and watched them all intently. 2020 was the last regular season. Like every single game, I was just cloud nine, baby. Mm-hmm. Even the losses, I was like, look at them though. Like, this is so cool. Like, after that, it's been keep meeting the expectations, raise the expectations, make it past the AFC Championship game, get to a Super Bowl. Again, that's my demon to battle. I get it. I don't really want to pass it on to people. I want to be up front. That's where I'm at. But I think Jack's right. Like, enjoy the journey, because this is a team that the big talking point was you're in transition. And yet in a year in transition, they have their best start since, what, 92 at 9 or 93 at 9-2.
Yeah.
And they look like a team that can beat basically anyone. In a year that really the NFL as a whole, it seems like overall, like, teams that can win a championship seems down. I was listening to Colin Cowherd yesterday, and he said it. Like, he's like, there's probably only three teams that can win a trophy this year: Detroit, Kansas City, Buffalo. I fully agree with that.
Yeah.
Because I think the Eagles, for as talented as they are, have a serious weakness at head coach.
Oh, yeah, and I think it's funny because, you know, a lot of people bring up the question, are the Eagles winning in spite of Nick Sirianni?
Yes.
I think it's 100% true.
Yeah.
Because they just hate him, I feel like. It just, the vibe there is so off. But they're still winning, and they're still competing, and that's, you know, credit to the great players there, because there are good players on that team. Saquon Barkley is an amazing running back. I think we just haven't been able to fully see that because the Giants are a terrible organization. By the way, Tommy DeVito, that's electric.
I feel so bad for Joe Shane after having gone through, and even me as well, having gone through that Hard Knocks, and I loved it, the offseason edition, loved it. And, like, agreeing to a certain extent with where he was at, where it's like, no, we can't be paying our quarterback this much to hand off to that running back who's making that much. Like,
at a point, it kind of did make sense, but now it's like, oh, man.
We had to be smarter, and now Daniel Jones, not just benched for Tommy DeVito, benched also for Drew Lock. He is not even the backup.
Nope. He's the third-string quarterback.
And Saquon Barkley's out here doing reverse hurdles over people, looking like he's going to be Offensive Player of the Year. I mean, just – and you know what? Kudos to him, man. We all knew the talent Barkley had. The Giants were not good. He also dealt with a number of serious injuries as well. And for him to potentially have, like, a career year this year on a loaded Eagles team, so much fun to watch.
I think also in Jack's tweet there that you were just reading, to go back to the Bills here for a sec, I keep forgetting that it's Bobby Babich's first year as a play caller and first year as a defensive coordinator. I understand, like, he's been in the defensive world with the Bills now for a while, but he's doing a great job. I always forget.
Their player development is spectacular.
Yeah, and their coach, I mean, this is kind of proven to be their coach development too. I mean, look at how quickly he's been able to step in. Because it's not like, you know, with Joe Brady, he was a coordinator before. With Babich, he's been
linebacker's
coach and things like that. And it's like him stepping in like this has been awesome to see. And it's just, I think we're entering the realm of getting worried about losing coordinators. I don't think we're going to lose Babich right away.
Babich will take time because he's a defensive guy.
But at the same time, you saw what happened with Brian Daboll. It was like 2 years and boom, gone.
And you kind of knew it was. You were sort of just waiting for the notification from Adam Schefter going like, hey, and he's gone. And you're like, okay.
Here he goes.
Here we go again. We're back to it. Let's go to the phones here. We've got Bob on the line. Bob, how are we doing today?
Fantastic. How you guys doing?
Doing very well.
Doing good.
Awesome. Hey, beating expectations. They're killing my expectations, right? You guys just touched on it.
I mean, this is a defense that was led by Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer from the back to the front, and we changed them both out this year. We had salary cap problems. We got a new DC. We lost some of our key offensive weapons from the previous year, and we're all sitting there thinking, oh, my God, you know, they hope the team, you know, can make the playoffs. Will they lose the streak of winning the AFC East? And here they are with their best record since 1992. Are you kidding me? I'm on cloud nine with you guys. They're killing my expectations.
Yeah, Bob, spot on, man. And we didn't even bring up the salary cap point, too. But, I mean, like, they get rid of Diggs to sort of eat the cap now to open up room for years down the road. They had 10 picks until the trade deadline, or till before the trade deadline with Amari Cooper. Now they're potentially going to have like 9 picks, 2 seconds, a first. I mean, for a lot of people, including myself, it was more get through this year, take your medicine now, the year after, and then 2-3 years after that are going to be the next era. And now all of a sudden you're sitting there going, nope, it's now. It's never a down year. Just keep going. They're not, you know, going to be the early 2000s Colts with Peyton Manning, where they're 13-3. There were also years where they were 6-10 and missing the playoffs early in Peyton Manning's career. Obviously, get better later. They're certainly not also Drew Brees and the Saints, where they went to the NFC Championship game, but then before their 13-3 run in 2009, where they go win the Super Bowl, I think they missed the playoffs 2 straight years. They're not that. They are instead a team that continues to raise the expectations on themselves. They continue to meet them. We talked about their player development, and to Bob's point, you know, Mike Hyde and Jordan Poyer both out the door, and they haven't been perfect, but Taylor Rapp and Damar Hamlin have been more than serviceable. They have been very, very good at spots, and for most of the season, they have not been a hindrance to this team at all. And then you also have a second-round rookie in Cole Bishop just waiting in the wings, waiting for his turn, and just kind of soaking up the knowledge with McDermott, with Babich and everyone there. That pick was highly touted. At the moment, we'll see how long-term it goes on the field, but as of right now, I still have incredibly high hopes for him. Brady as well, he came into weird circumstances last year. This is your first full season with him. I don't love everything. I'm not going to love everything. But
he seems to be adapting, though, whereas Ken Dorsey was not adapting at all. Ken Dorsey was just, nope, we're just going to keep doing this,
He had his philosophy, and they were going to live and die by it.
Right, and now, but Brady, on the other hand, is, hey, this works, this doesn't, let's change this part that doesn't work. And
I think Joe had a stat yesterday, too, that talked about the Bills passing in neutral situations. And in terms of playoff teams, they were number one. So even if your fears of Brady's going to make this team more run first and that they're going to go away from the pass, I mean, once they figured out the wide receiver position, getting Amari Cooper, Khalil Shakir ascending into, I think, one of the elite slot receivers in football, they've figured it out. And they have been cooking up to this point. Again, we went through it. I mean, they've scored 30 points in their last 4 games. The last time they haven't scored 30 was back against the Jets on Monday Night Football. And they're doing it. And they've had moments where they're slow starts. But a lot of that also comes down to it's a young team gelling together. You know, we haven't even mentioned either. They got rid of Mitch Morris, their starting center, for a number of years here. It's a huge position to change, especially because outside of, I think, maybe a number one receiver for Josh, Mitch Morris was the most important addition they had made in his early part of his career to just have that stabilizing force on the O-line for him. Who came from Kansas City. He was at one point the highest paid center in football. And they keep moving. They keep going. Spencer Brown has taken another step this year. Osiris Torrance has been incredible. Has the guy missed a game yet, honestly?
He has
in his year-and-a-half career. Has he missed a game?
He's been one of the best draft picks in recent history. I mean, the Bills.
Yeah, 2 years ago, I would have been happy if they took him in the first round. They somehow got him in the second round, and he's been their starting right guard since.
Mm-hmm.
It's been awesome to see what they've been able to do with player development. And I do think going into this bye week, the Bills should be proud of themselves. Again, there's things I think they can fix. You did lose to Baltimore pretty embarrassingly. That did happen.
Yeah.
But as I've mentioned, I want another shot at them because I think this current Bills team, where they're at now instead of the first month of the season, I think they could take Baltimore. I really, really do. And, you know, we're not even mentioning, you know, Dwayne Carter, who we haven't seen in a few weeks, but he was an ascending player, third-round rookie at defensive tackle. He was playing great. Let's get to one more phone call here before we take our next time out. Dan on the line. Dan, how are we doing today?
Good, thank you. I guess my only criticism I would have to say for the Bills over basically almost the whole year is the first down play calling. It's basically so predictable. I don't know how many times I've been watching the games with my friends and said, okay, this is that handoff up the middle to Cook. okay, this is that screen pass off, the wide receiver screen pass off to the side there. Like that. It's like sooner or later, you've got to give these defense coordinators a different look on first down. And to me, the best way to do that is to run maybe more. You utilize the middle of the field. That's the one thing that I think the Bills haven't done very good, is find ways to run some drag patterns or some slant patterns and get a guy on the run, you know, hit a guy in stride like Shakir or Samuel, and find ways to mix it up because they're so predictable on first down.
Dan, thanks for the call. Fully agree. I think they have become predictable. And on your point, though, using the middle of the field, that's something I've really wanted them to do. I wonder now, and you brought up his name, Curtis Samuel. With him healthy, I do wonder if you start seeing some of those crossing routes that Isaiah McKenzie kind of made famous for the Bills. It was like the one route he could really run was those crossing routes, namely against the Patriots. And if they can get him going, because that 4-3 speed, you can see it now that he's healthy against Kansas City. There were a few points where he was just able to, boom, and he's gone, and they're playing catch-up. The screens to Shakir I've loved. It's more for me the inside runs. And especially it became a kind of obnoxious almost to a certain point against Kansas City where they're going for like 1-2 yards. And then if it's incomplete on second down, which it, you know, there were points where it was, you're setting up these third and nines to third and seven to third and nines. They were 9 for 15 on third down, Josh, on Sunday. Great. That is phenomenal. That boosted up their third down ranking from like in the 30s to like 42% now. But again, they needed to be exceptional on third down on Sunday to beat the Chiefs, because first down a lot of time was just throwing it away. They were just throwing it away. Now they did set up play action, but I want the team to go to play action more. They are so good at that. And Shakir is getting open so quickly. And now you're getting Sammy, who's healthier. I wonder how his separation numbers are going to open up now that he's getting more of a run here and he's healthier. And you did get to see what he did against Kansas City. Amari Cooper as well. I think they're going to start going to that more. You're seeing them pass more. But I think they had an idea against Kansas City. They stuck to it, even to many of us, just the anger, to even to our anger. They had their plan, right. And it was working. I mean, it was working. 803-0550 is the number to call. Talking expectations today, taking your calls, reading your tweets. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mint here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I think I nailed that. My email closed.
I think you did.
I nailed that.
Yeah, no.
Finally got it. I've said it enough times that I feel like I should get it.
I would check my email, but it's not working. So,
don't you love technology in the morning? So good.
It's not even the morning anymore. It's 11. Okay, it is technically still the morning, still, but I've been up since 4. So
I count 11 as lunchtime. So it's like the weird transition to afternoon. It's not technically.
This is brunch time.
Can't do this. I cannot do this with brunch.
What do you mean you can't do this? It's brunch time. It's the time between breakfast and lunch.
Worthless saying.
Brunch on a Tuesday, though.
I don't. It's time of day. It doesn't matter the day of the week. If I had off today, maybe I'd go out for brunch.
Cannot stand brunch. Just give me the lunch menu. If I want breakfast, I will come in for the breakfast
menu. Why not? Hey, hear me out.
Or like some fast food establishments, we're going to do all of it all day.
Exactly. Those are the best ones because you get breakfast if you want breakfast, you get lunch if you want lunch, and then you get the fun crossover meals where they put chicken and waffles on there.
That's good. No, chicken and waffles is great.
Because chicken and waffles is not going to be featured on a lunch menu.
But then there are some places I go and they're like, no, we have a brunch menu. And you're like, I wanted a cheeseburger, man.
Yeah, but most of those brunch places have a cheeseburger on their menu.
They don't. It's all fancy.
It's a fancy cheeseburger. It's different. Wow.
I wanted a classic American cheeseburger like they have in the menu, that weird, like, creepy movie with Ralph Fiennes. It's what I wanted.
Why not? Hear me out.
And, like, we're going to put apple butter on it. You're like, what?
No. Half the time they put, like, these fancy, like, garlic aiolis on it and stuff, and then you get, like, the pickles on the side, and you put the pickles on it.
They put ketchup and mayo on it, man.
Okay. Tell him to put ketchup and mayo.
Why don't I get an aioli?
An aioli is a mayo. Have you never made an aioli?
It's not the mayo I want.
It's part. The base of it is mayo.
Brunch is worthless. Nothing is going to change my mind on this. Brunch is absolutely worthless. I've been to brunch 3 times in my life. All 3 times, I've yet to be happy.
It's delightful. You've just gone to the wrong place.
The only positive, mimosas. That right there should just win the argument. No. They are genuinely, though, a wonderful drink. I will stand on that.
This might send ripples through our friendship.
90s music all being the same didn't. This is.
No, that was the start. This is the finish.
Okay.
That was the beginning of the end. This is the end.
803-0550, the number to call. Talking expectations, Bills 9-2 heading into the bye. Have they met yours? And if not, where do they need to improve? Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here for another hour. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive X Point Show on WGR.